Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. The Hills of California, a new play by Jez Butterworth and directed by Sam Mendes, is running on Broadway at the Broadhurst Theater through December 22nd. The play is set in 1955 and 1976 at the rundown Seaview Guesthouse near the English seaside.
The Seaview Luxury Guesthouse and Spa, just around the corner from this cinema.
The boarding house slash inn slash bed and breakfast is run by Veronica Webb. In 1955, she and her four daughters pinned the hopes of their family on the girls becoming a successful musical act like the Andrews Sisters. Veronica stage mothers while attempting to keep the Seaview Guesthouse running and making the girls famous by any means necessary.
My girls are the Webbs, and the Webbs aren't ten a penny. They only made one lot and they are real.
In 1976, Veronica is dying upstairs while the daughters gather in a combative vigil, having not seen each other regularly or at all in the intervening decades. The play explores the complications involved in perception and memory surrounding traumatic events in one family's story. Helena Wilson plays Jill, the youngest sister, in the 1976 scenes. The Hills of California is Wilson's Broadway debut, and she performed in the original production on the West End earlier this year. Helena Wilson, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's great to be talking about it.
For the listening audience who probably hasn't yet had a chance to see the show, tell us about your character. Tell us about Jill and her sort of deal to begin with, and we'll go from there.
With pleasure. Jill's deal is that she is the youngest of the four Webb sisters. And by the time we meet her, the iteration of her that I play in the 1970s, she has never left the seaside guest house in which she was raised by her formidable mother, Veronica. So by the time we meet Jill, she's 30 odd. She's never had a really serious relationship, and she has been taking care of her ailing mother for years. All her other sisters have left to various adventures or marriages or everything in between, and she has been stuck physically, obviously, but also I think emotionally quite stuck. And the journey, Jill's journey of the play is one of getting unstuck, I think, and moving forward.
You are the first person on stage in the production. The play begins with you out there. What is that like to be the first character in a show like this that has so much to reveal, to walk on stage knowing everything you know?
Yeah, gosh, that's such a good question. I mean, it's really exciting because you feel like you have a secret, or you feel like, how shall I phrase this? You feel privileged to be the first person taking the audience's hand because you know what a hopefully amazing journey they're going to be going on. But also, honestly, it's quite a lot of pressure as well. And I think, you know, I was so excited to be here and be in New York and be on Broadway. And then that first night when I thought, oh my goodness, it's, you know, it's me. But it feels like an occasion you have to rise to, you know. But I'd be lying, I think, if I said I wasn't. It's not a big responsibility to start things off, particularly with this piece, I think, which is so delicate at the start. You know, I think some of Jez's plays start with, I mean, one of them literally starts with a rave, and one of them starts with a fire, and this one starts quietly with an exhausted woman talking to a nurse, you know. So I feel a lot of pressure to uphold that.
How do you prepare for the show, and how soon into the piece can you tell if the audience is with you?
These are very discerning questions. I suppose it's always incredibly boring, I think, when actors talk about process. But if you'll just indulge me for one second, I think for me, acting is a very physical and not intellectual thing. So I always make sure I do that. My body is very, very physically warm. So actually, the younger girls who have lots of tap dancing to do, they do a proper physical warm up and I go and join them.
Oh,
because
great.
That really helps me to feel my way through the play rather than think my way through the play. I can be quite prone to sort of analysing my way through things. And actually, I think acting is best just when it's kind of instinctive. And then your other question, they're always with us, I would say. An audience, like, always with you, but it's what quality of attention you're going to get, if that makes any sense. So there are a couple of lines in that opening exchange with the nurse that I use as a gauge of, is this an audience that's really up for a laugh, really up for a good time? Is this an audience that's maybe more thoughtful, or is this an audience that's taking a bit of a time to get into the dialect? And but I never feel, or I hope to never feel, that they're bored. They're always engaged. It's just what kind of quality of attention. And then that's fun as well, because you think, okay, you're in this place at the start. I wonder where we can take you by the end. And they're always different, you know. It's that cliche of theatre, but it's true. It's different every night.
You just mentioned the young actors who play the sisters in 1955. Nicola Turner plays young Jill. Did you work on sort of matching yourselves to your younger selves? Are there characterizations or physicalities or things that you built up together?
Yeah, we really did. I mean, actually, the truth is that they were more generous and really spent a lot of time matching us rather than us matching them, if that makes any sense. So I guess with Sam, our brilliant director, we worked from a place of these are the adults we meet. Who are the, what do we need to see in the child version in order to, for things to make sense or for things to be more poignant in the adult? But then I say that there are some things Nicola does that I've just straight up stolen, having watched her. And we were, I mean, it's a small thing really, but the having her glasses and having some little physical kind of costume things that we share across the time period, that really helps because you feel like you're inhabiting the same place. But they are, honestly, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with them. They're in the wings, you know, at least once or twice a week, watching, checking in, and learning. And yeah, they're brilliant young performers. They're amazing.
The play deals with a lot of things, but one of them is the way that the same event can be remembered differently by different individuals that are participants in that event. And it can be, you know, the vastly different memories of the same thing. What are the clues in the text for you as Jill remembers and interprets her life with her family? And is she open to her older sister's interpretations of events of their lives?
I think, I mean, I couldn't put it better than you just have about what the play is asking about memory. And I think I would go even further and say that it's the play is exploring how people can develop really quite strong emotional attachments to their specific interpretation. It's not,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's not just that they've landed on a specific interpretation, but actually they really need to stick to it for various reasons. So I think I'm not sure the Jill that we meet in Acts 1 and 2 is particularly amenable to hearing different versions of events, mainly because the past is a safe place for her to live, to occupy, you know, because I won't give too much away, but, you know, as a carer, as somebody who doesn't have many options as a sort of single woman in 1976 in a sort of coastal town in England, she's very invested in the past. It's a place she can inhabit, and to that have that threatened or challenged by other interpretations is really painful for her. And I think when it all comes to a head in this kind of explosive conclusion in Act 3, that is very painful for her, but it's good for her, I think. And the little, obviously you try and fully inhabit what you're doing, but the bit of me that can see her from the outside thinks, oh, that's probably quite good for you.
I probably could have found this out through some research, but I didn't learn this before coming in here. And it just occurred to me to ask you, do you have siblings, sisters or other?
I have a younger brother and no sisters. So this has been a real, it's one of the things, actually, one of the reasons I really wanted to do the play was I think I have some incredibly strong, important relationships with women in my life, but I don't have sisters. So learning what that's like. That said, I do have a incredibly musical younger brother. He's a pianist. And so I do connect to what it's like to have a childhood full of music and to be playing music with a sibling.
Did you perform together publicly?
Yeah, and we actually performed Dream a Little Dream of Me, which is the song that's in the end of the show. Yeah. so that's all a bit. But then, I mean, there are countless stories like this of people in the cast who've had spooky. I think Jez is like,
you keep not quite finishing saying the word spooky. And I just want to make sure, because I can tell that's what you're saying, but it might not come through on the radio, that you're saying it's a little bit spooky.
Okay, thank you. It's just I think he can hear frequencies that other people can't. And then once he taps into it, you realize that your life is connected to it and everybody's life is connected to it in a different way.
All right. I wasn't going to say this, but now I have to. I sat down in the show and you walked out and looked Not actually like my mother, but a little bit when she was young, which would have been in the 50s. So the timing doesn't work out for the ages, but just a little bit like her. And then with the mother dying upstairs, my mom died in 2022, and I was the sibling that was there to help with that, not for months, not for years. And we had been apart, but I like went and took care of her. So I was already like, I was so,
Oh my
I
goodness.
just like another thing, like tying. I know I'm not inserting myself into your whole journey with the play necessarily, but I was like, I did feel that vibe, like vibrative connection very early in the piece as well. And then it plays out in a way that's entirely unrelated to my personal experience, but it was just like a latching that I couldn't get over for a few minutes.
Oh my goodness. No, thank you for saying that. Honestly, it doesn't feel like inserting yourself at all. It feels like, and I really don't think you're, and I'm so sorry that you went through that for starters. I think people who take that care are awesome. I think it's brave. I think it's difficult. Anyway, all of this to say that you're very much not alone in the audience, because I can feel that. I really can. And not in a sort of woo-woo actory way, I then go to stage door and people say, "I was you," or I've taken care of this relative, or when we go back home to our family, I played that role. I'm always the Jillian in my family, or whatever. So it's very, I don't feel it's insertive at all. I feel it's creative.
Okay, good.
I
Thank you.
do.
And about the Andrews sisters, were you being, I mean, they're so ubiquitous in American music. Like, I'm obviously their popularity predates me by quite a lot, but I do feel like I know a lot of their songs. Is that true in the UK? Is that true where you're from as well, or not really?
Yeah, definitely. I
I think
think
it's
we're
the
aware
war,
of
right? It's got to
it.
be the
What
war.
took the words out of my mouth? Yeah, exactly. So I think we're more familiar with Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, the kind of wartime sort of keep the troops' morale up, those songs. But it's been a really interesting process for me of learning more about them as a band, as you know, because I suppose you don't. I hadn't. My impression of them hadn't been that they were. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's been really interesting, kind of learning more about their history and fleshing them out as characters. And that bit that, Veronica has at the top when she's sort of schooling her daughters in what the Andrews sisters, how they started their career. I mean, it's extraordinary, driving hundreds and hundreds of miles across the country to be turned away at the door. And one of them was sort of 4 years old. I mean, it's just absurd.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, you'd think, so were there many other families also trying this that you never heard of?
It's exactly what I thought. Why and why them? And I've watched obviously countless videos of them, and they are so good. And you sort of think, what is it? Obviously, it's that you're drilled, you're tight, you're together, but there is something just intangible, about. And they're spellbinding, and I don't know what it is. And but it is also that thing of, okay, that was a family who were in the midst of trying to live through the Great Depression, who had a talent, and they thought, we're going to see how this goes. I find it very moving because there are families up around the world trying to do that,
Helena, it's been an absolute joy to get to speak with you today. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time and attention. And the performance is beautiful. The production is gorgeous. And I really just appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking.
Helena Wilson plays Jill in the Hills of California at the Broadhurst Theater on Broadway. The play, written by Jez Butterworth and directed by Sam Mendes, runs through December 22nd. To learn more, visit thehillsofcalifornia.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.